come to the chuppah at 6, 7 o'clock. You don't see dinner until 11:30. Is that meshugalo tzadavar? You're having a simcha. It's a chas and kala getting married. We'll spend 2 hours taking pictures doing this all day. All day. Now, let's give her another angle, and from a third angle, from a seventh angle. And meanwhile, when the mitzvah is to dance with a chasen and kala, I don't have to elaborate. No, I'm not saying all weddings are like this. Some people do them in wonderful taste, and balabatish. But this is a great opportunity, mishugalo tzodavar. And in every other way, they're normal. And you'd expect, you know, don't take it so seriously. Oh, but they do. What about talking in shul? What about talking in shul? I don't have to go through the thousands of chazal that tell us how terrible it is to say one word in shul during davening that you shouldn't say. How terrible it is. As the Shulchan Aruch says, Gadolo avono minso. It's a sin that's too great to bear. It's the only place in the Shulchan Aruch, I believe, where it says that. That means it's a pretty bad Avera. Unbelievably terrible Churbanos come from this. We all know this. We all pride ourselves as following the Shulchan Aruch, right? And in so many ways, we're so respectful to people. And if God forbid a Gabbai will come over to you and tell you to stop talking in the middle of Chazaras HaShatz, you will give him the biggest Misha Pari ever got in his life. What a chutzpah! You came to me to tell me to be quiet? And they'll leave the shul. I want to go to another shul where I can talk. What else are we there for? Mishuga loto davar. You got to be out of your mind. It's okay, you're talking. The guy catches you. He says, please stop. You know, okay, you lose, you forget. Okay, you forget it. You're honest. The gabbai comes to you and it's like, what chutzpah do you have to tell me not? You know, I've been a member in this shul before you were born, Mr. Gabbai. I have an inalienable right to talk whenever I want to talk. There's something else going on there. It's a covet issue. It's a gaiva issue. Whatever it is. Mishugala oto davar. 100% mishugala. If a spouse comes late to pick up another spouse, we start thinking of, oh, he's always late. Again he's late. It's the 75th time he's late. You know, my husband hates me. Or my wife hates me. And then when they come in the door, you let them have it. What are you, Meshugalo Todavar? Do you know what your husband does for you? Know what your wife does for you? Do you really mean what you're saying? Shidduchim. We get offered Shidduchim. Well, let's see if it fits my checklist. You know, what color is her hair? Meshugalo Todavar? You know, let me check. Is their great-great-grandfather had any mental health problems? Well, if we can't check back 9 generations, we're not even interested in looking. I'm exaggerating only a little. Only a little. I'm just not interested. If they live in a different postal code, forget it. You know, what's the number? That number, forget it. We don't call those numbers. It's not possible that my basher, I'm a shuganer. Chazal say, Hashem made shidduch when you were born. Who are you to say where it should go? So we go through lives, and you can figure out, fill in the blanks. Mishugalo tzodavar. And the biggest machloikisim in communities, the biggest sinas chinam comes because you're a mishugalo tzodavar, and you're mishugalo tzodavar, and I'm mishuga for this davar, and now let's try to get along all those mishuganists to get along. But none of us will admit that we're mishuga. It's the other guy who's mishuga. Now you can understand why the Jews got so many problems. Okay, now that I spent almost the entire lecture on the problems, I've got about, what time did I start? I got about 15 minutes, is fair? Yeah? So what are the answers? Everyone wants, 5 minutes, fix my life up. Right? But I think we're masking, can everybody stop for 30 seconds and point in your mind where you are a mishugalo tel davar? And if you can't, that's the biggest mishugas. That means you think you're perfect. That's a good mishugas too. Think of the mishugas that you have. Mishugalo todavar. And how much it's hurtful to people. How much it's hurtful to yourself. Okay. And what advice can we give, I'm reading the Rebbe now, and what advice can we give to the human being who seeks therapy for this psychosis? The hard truth is There is no cure that will help, that will keep every unsound thought from rising to mind. He said, the truth is, we can't stop all your mishigasim. But at least you can reduce the insanity of thoughts and keep their appearance to a minimum. And he's going to give us a two-step process. The way to do this is through heightened self-awareness. What does he mean? He says, train yourself to watch every thought that comes to mind. Pay attention to all your inner self-talk. Listen to what these inner voices are saying, especially those surrounding your emotional weak points, where you have a mita nefula. In other words, listen to what you're saying. Listen to what you're thinking. Critical thinking of what you do and what you say. You're about to say something. You're about to do something. You're about to plan your wedding. You're about to talk in shul. You're about to react to someone who's criticized you. Now say, you know what? I'm going to really listen to what I'm saying or what I'm thinking. This introspection, he says, at the beginning, this very introspection will be with crooked vision. You say, well, you know, let me think. I'm inviting 900 people to the wedding. Let's think about this. Is that a little bit excessive? No, I think that's really not too much at all. You know, but that's what could happen in the beginning. You know, deluding ourselves by how clever our thoughts are. But with perseverance, by the 10th time, we will clearly see how irrational our thinking is and be shocked by how our sophisticated minds ever entertain such delusions. If you keep self-evaluating the first time, the second time, the third time, the first 9 times, you're not going to catch yourself. But if you work at it, you know what? You'll find one mishigas. Now, you might not find any more for a while again, but something's happened. When you catch it for the first time, the Rebbe then says, listen to this lashon, beautiful. Our deified intellect will then lose its status and become an object of laughter for us. He says, how could I ever have thought such a mishigas? Takich bizabisal mishigya. To think that, to say that thing to that person. My wife came late and I insulted her. You know, that was crazy. How could I do that? What got over me? Never again will we blindly trust our mind and rely on its rationality. And that's the critical step number 2. Step 1, think what you're thinking. Analyze what you're thinking. And is it right? Is it wrong? Is it good? Is it not good? And especially with major decisions that you have to make in your life. Especially when you're getting into important areas. Think it over. And maybe the first time it won't help 9 times. But when it hits once, and one time it shows how clearly that was an idiotic thing for me to think and say. Then all of a sudden you say, you know what? If I did it once, who's to say I couldn't do it again? And we've taken the deified intellect and we've taken it off the throne. And it doesn't rain so much anymore. These two perspectives, objective vision and loss of credence, are necessary to reach our objective. As long as my thoughts are ideal in my eyes, and my thinking is for me infallible, introspection will not help. Because in my heart I am saying, how sound and straight are my thought patterns. I will not look with detached objective vision. You never think. But after several times of experiencing our own psychosis, after laughing at our insane thoughts, we'll be able to spot one the next time it comes and be able to correct it. And that's the key to correcting the faults of Tisha B'Av. To be able to stop and think the next time you're about to say something, the next time you're about to do something. Think them through, be an objective third party to yourself and say, does this really make sense? But number 1, you have to start the game. It's really 3 steps. It's really 3 steps. I mean, he assumes the first step. Step number 1 is admit you're nuts. Lo'oto davar. Lo'oto davar. I've got suspicions in this area because I see in this area I have no problems with people in this area. But some reason I got some problems over here. I could quite possibly be a little bit crazy. Maybe the mem's not on my head, but I could be. And if I am, maybe I should think a little more the next time I'm about to do or say something and critically analyze it. And then when you find the mishigas, you should dance for joy. Yes, I've proven that I'm crazy. And then you could start working on it. And that's what God created us for, to work on it and to change. And if you're going to find it a little bit difficult and challenging, Rabbi, that's a lot of work you're giving me to do. So we just have to, if you're finding it hard to do on your own, just turn to Pirkei Avos. And Pirkei Avos, we have the famous statement, the triple cord. Asei lecha rav, kinei lecha chaver, vevidan es kol hadam lekav schos. Three statements. Make for yourself a rabbi, acquire for yourself a friend, and judge everybody favorably. Now, judging people favorably could be a whole class. But what's key over here? Really, the key to your sanity is to judge everybody favorably. That's a good starting point. But how could you ever learn to judge people favorably? How could you learn to be a thinker like this? You first have to say lecha rav. You have to make for yourself a rav. Because quite often, with all this advice that the Rebbe is giving us, and he is Taka the Rav, that's the Rebbe, is our Rav. You go to Rav and say, Rabbi, I think I'm crazy. Could you help me? And believe me, if he's allowed to speak honestly, and your membership is not on the line, he'll tell you plenty. He'll tell you plenty. And now, can you be makabel? It's from a Rav. A Selech HaRav. Meaning to say, what he says is gold. You don't have to spend money on therapists. It comes in the rabbi's contract. He's a free therapist. You call up the rabbi. You want to make your rabbi's day? You want to make your rabbi's day? Call him up and say, Rabbi, can I have a meeting with you? I want you to show me where I'm crazy. You'll make his day. You'll make his day. He said, Mamish, what a congregant. And say, please, I want to hear it. I want to tell me where you think I'm doing things wrong. And if you could do that, that's wonderful. But then again, there's certain things that maybe you're afraid to go to your rabbi about. So okay, k'nei lecha chaver, make for yourself a friend. And a friend, as Chazal say, will point out your faults. And we know your best friend is your wife. Your best friend is your wife. That's the biggest chaver. Your best friend is your husband. Countless times I was spared terrible problems because I would run it past my wife first. Say, what do you think, dear? And in a polite way, she would never say, you're crazy, Dussie. But in a nice way, I understood that I was crazy. Because that's the chaver you have to have. And if you're not sure, you have to go to your rabbi and say, you know, I'm thinking of this. You think this makes sense? Does anybody ever go to their rabbi and ask him, Rabbi, how should I make the wedding? You know, it's more important than asking if the pot's kosher or treif. How should I make my wedding? What are the guidelines? Tell me, what's the way a balabatish wedding, al pi halacha, should be made? Rabbi, tell me, when is it that I can speak in shul? Please, I want to know exactly. When are the times I'm allowed to speak in shul? Rabbi, when am I allowed to yell at my wife? Rabbi, what kind of shidduchim should we be looking for? Rabbi, do I really have to reach out to other Jews and help them? Or is that just like a chumra ba'alma? Ask them. And they'll tell you, in a very polite way, you're nuts. To this thing only. You're a wonderful person everywhere else. Everywhere else, you're a wonderful person. Asei lecha rav, kinei lechaver, v'avidan es kol adam lekavzchus. Then you'll be able to judge everybody favorably. Once you're not meshuggah anymore, then you could see everybody in a beautiful way. And the most importantly, you could see yourself in a beautiful way. This seems like quite a massive challenge. All for one Tisha B'Av. But I believe these words of the Rebbe are the key to everything. You walk around, oh, come on, be honest. Okay, we're not going to tell anybody, but think about people that you know are crazy. Lo sol davar. You know there's a lot of them. You met the person in shopping, and they were meshugah lo sol davar in line over there. And in shul there were meshugah lo sol davar. And everybody's meshugah lo sol davar. And you're not? So on Tisha B'Av, we have a little more time to reflect and say, maybe I'm also meshugah lo sol davar. If the Meraglim could be meshugah lo sol davar, and Korach can be, and the Jewish people could be, maybe I could be also. So of course, now when you start thinking, you go, oh man, I'm so meshugah, I better not even start. So to this we'll end with Rabbi Nachman, where we read today, yesterday in Eicha, we read, Nisa levavenu el kapayim el Hashem. We read that we should lift up our hearts and our hands to Hashem in heaven. We should tell Hashem we sinned, we rebelled. So the Rebbe gives a beautiful mashal to a king who sends the prince off for 5 years to university to learn how to be a king. And he's away for 5 years and he comes back. And now the father wants to see Sataka. What does he know? What did he learn? Episcolarithepis? So he takes the child who's grown up and he takes him into the royal garden and he shows him around and they talk about this and that. He took biology and music and this and the arts. Father says, very nice, very nice. I want to ask you something. You see this giant boulder right here in the middle of the garden? I'd like that boulder to be upstairs in the third floor bedroom by tomorrow morning. That'll show me how smart you are. So the prince looks at this. This boulder must be like 10 tons, you know. And he's trying to calculate. He says, okay, well, let's figure. What do I calculate the exact mass to be and how many people take to exert pressure on it to lift it up? And he's calculating this, isn't that? It's not going to go. We don't have enough people. It's not going to work. And he's trying to, well, maybe we could figure maybe with levers and pulleys and simple machines, hydraulic lift. What? It's not going to go. It's not going to go. So finally, the son, after a couple of days, goes to the father and says, I'm sorry, Dad. It cannot be moved. It cannot be moved. So the king was a bit disappointed. He said, listen, you should have full confidence that I wouldn't have asked you to do a task that was impossible. The very fact that I gave you such an assignment shows that somehow it can be accomplished. But Father, how? A rock like this, it weighs several tons. Even if I took 100 choice soldiers, there's no way we could lift this thing up. And then the father comes back, do you truly think that I gave you a task that was totally impossible? You see, I sought to test and to see whether I knew you learned a lot. But I wanted to know if you had some understanding in your life. And I see you failed. Listen, let me tell you what you do. Just take a rock, take a chisel, and chisel into little stones, and take the whole thing up to my room. I said I want the whole boulder up there. I didn't tell you how it had to get up there. You chisel off a little bit, and let it take pieces by pieces, and you get up there. And the whole rock would get up there. That's the story that Rabbi Nachman says. The truth is, each and every one of us feels like this son. That we're faced with an unbelievable task. And that's what the Navi says. The task of raising up our hearts. Our hearts that are so heavy, are as heavy as stones, that seem too heavy to move or to influence. And our hearts have been encrusted with all kinds of averos that make ourselves too hard to be influenced and to be moved. And we wish we could do like the prophet says, to lift up our hearts with our hands. But of course, we don't feel we can do this. So when we read this in Megillah, and we know, we're talking Meshuga. Maybe we are Meshuga. Lo tov davar, lo tov davar, lo tov davar. And the rock is way too heavy to carry up. And even if we want to, we don't know how to carry it up. So what's the Eitzah? So says Rabbi Nachman, the same thing that the king told his son. How about we take the heart and break it up into pieces? What do you mean break it up into pieces? So the Navi Yirmiyahu somewhere else says, Hello, Kod Varai, my words, the words of Hashem, are ke'esh, num Hashem, are like fire, u'kepatish yifatzei tzela, and like a hammer that smashes stone. Hashem's word, the Torah that Hashem gave us, the incredible Rebbe that Hashem is, the incredible Chaver that Hashem is for all of us. Hashem tells us, I'm going to tell you how to do it, and I'm going to give you the tools. That rock that we feel we can't move, it's so heavily mishtaga. I can't change. I can't think anymore for myself. I can't make those kind of changes. I'm too old. I'm not used to this. So what is the Navi saying? Just take a little chisel. Take a little Torah. Bang it. Bang it. Bang it. You know what? You'll get a little mishigas here. You get a little mishigas there. Every day another little mishigas. And before you know it, you're going to have it all the way up to the top. But it's got to be a learning that's meant to bring that out. And unfortunately, Daf Yomi alone doesn't accomplish that. Now, it's a beautiful thing, Daf Yomi. And a chas v'shom, chas v'shom. I would never be critical of it. But not everyone is ro'ui lo'oto davar. And for some, they're meshugat lo'oto davar. And the biggest proof is, if after all the learning you do, and you're still a meshugat lo'oto davar, that means you didn't find the hammer yet. Because you haven't busted the stove. There's learning and there's learning. When you learn chassidus, when you learn Musar, you learn Sifrei Machshava, you talk it over with friends, and you make Cheshbon HaNefesh on top of the Daf Yomi. Every day you can chisel away at it. Every day, there's a way to learn Torah that chisels away at you. Because when the Torah tells you to do something, you know it's true. And that's what we have to work on. Hashem should bless us that the crying that we did and the crying that we've gone from, because it was crying from being a meshugah l'oto davar, we should have the courage to be able to take the three-step process that the Piyus Etzner Rebbe tells us. Number one, confront the fact we have a meshugas. Number two, critically analyze what we do with the power of Torah, with the power of a Rebbe. If after the whole thing, what you do out of this is you go to your rabbi and say, Rabbi, this is the avoda. Go to your rabbi tomorrow. If you don't have a rabbi, go find one. If you don't have one, that's where your meshugah l'oto davar. Nobody needs to tell me anything. It's the biggest meshugas you could go through life with. You buy a house, you don't ask 10 real estate agents. You don't ask 20 friends, what's the best place? You change a muffler on a car. You don't ask aces. And then you have to live your life, and the rabbi has nothing to offer me. All he does is study Torah all day long. He doesn't work for a living. And to find friends that will criticize you in a loving way, if you don't have any, you're lost. And do something to find one. And believe me, I'm not going to tell you my phone number. I'm not looking for business. Well, if you call, I'll answer. That's the first step. That's the first step. Find a Rebbe. A mere Rebbe, not a rabbi, a Rebbe. A Rebbe that you're going to say, tell me where I'm a sugar. Ask your wife, tell me, where am I a sugar? And then you'll find, and the day that will come where you will find that you are a meshug enough for this oto davar and you'll admit it, you should dance and make a sudas hodah. Thank Hashem that you find this meshugas. Because once you find it, then the Torah is going to smash it to bits for you. It should all be zocha that before Rosh Hashanah, we should be able to take that rock and take it to the third floor. And Amir Hashem, if I take my rock and you take your rock and you take your rock, those are the very rocks that are going to build the base of Migdash that will become our final reality. B'mheira v'yameinu, amen. Thank you for listening.